Kay Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. The U.S. has confirmed there is a ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office says some final details still need to be worked out. That's Israeli President Isaac Herzog urging Israel's cabinet to approve the deal. President Biden says he's deeply satisfied this day has come.
Any final remains of hostages who have been killed will be returned to their families. And a major reconstruction plan for Gaza will begin.
In Tel Aviv, CBS's Remy Innocencio says the hostages will be released in three phases.
And as we know, that there are seven Israeli Americans among these 98 Israeli hostages. And three of those are still believed to be alive. We expect, though, that those three will not come out over the first phase, over the first 6 weeks.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A dusting of snow tonight, a quick warm-up, then back to dastardly cold temperatures next week. The National Weather Service says Sunday is when it will turn back cold. Snow and a high of 5 is currently forecasted for MLK Day Monday. The latest is coming up in the forecast. A coalition of Milwaukee County leaders has formed to oppose a proposed ICE detention facility. The facility, as described in a press release from Alderwoman Laressa Taylor's office, would include modifications such as a chain-link fence with privacy slats and a sally port for detainee transportation. The coalition includes Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez and members of the board's Latin caucus. They argue that the facility represents a system that perpetuates fear and family separation. In a late morning statement sent today, the supervisors said that undocumented immigrants contribute significantly to the state's economy. Wisconsin voters will see another amendment to the state constitution on an upcoming ballot. This one is on the state voter IDs law. With more, here's Lisa Hale.
With a liberal majority on the Supreme Court, Republican lawmakers want the law enshrined in the Constitution so it can't be overturned. Last week, the Senate passed the measure to add it to the ballot in the spring. The Assembly took up the matter yesterday. This is one of the first things lawmakers chose to take up in the start of the new legislative session. Meanwhile, Democrats say lawmakers should have been working on more pressing issues first, like preventing gun violence.
The hunt for Milwaukee Public Schools' next superintendent is entering the next phase. The school board is preparing to interview six candidates in the coming weeks. Following the interviews, the board will reveal the finalists on January 31st. The district has a goal of having someone fully in place by July 1st. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Greg Gard gets number 200. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin held on at the Kohl Center to win 70-68 over The Ohio State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard with his 200th career win.
As I told the team downstairs, I mean, it's a lot of hard work by a lot of people putting me in this position and a lot of people that should go on that 200.
In Chicago, number 7th ranked Marquette beat DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NBA, the Bucks took over early and beat the Kings 130-115, ending Sacramento's 7-game winning streak. NFL, with the loss of Christian Watson to a torn ACL, Jets wide receiver Davante Adams on what he thinks the Packers should do next.
It's looking right now like obviously they might need some receiver help in one way or the other just based off of what they have available. And you know, maybe a veteran or something in there. I don't know. We'll see.
That's former Packer Davante Adams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Breezy and becoming cloudy today, with winds switching to out of the south, shoving our highs to the low 20s. However, light snow does move in late tonight, which could bring around a trace to nearly a half an inch. It'll be gone by tomorrow, though, with partly sunny skies and highs above freezing. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 21.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Got Jess P.S. over on the board. You can be a big part of this program anytime. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Jazz as hell to introduce to you our co-host of the day, Matt Rothschild, a friend of ours. You may know him from the Progressive Magazine back in the day, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and of course, a Civic Media contributor. Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks, Dom. It's always fun to be with you on Wednesday afternoons.
Yeah, man, makes the week go so much smoother. Lots going on in the news today. Matt, of course, the president-elect is getting his due, man. His folks are getting their senatorial, what are they called, advice and consent today. Pam Bondi, one of many, up talking to the senators. We're going to get into some of that as well. We got the inauguration coming up. Michelle Obama not attending, but apparently the other living presidents will be. We'll talk about that as well. Some of the entertainment has been released for the inauguration. We'll talk about that as well. But let's start out with the news of the day. Hamas and Israel have agreed to a ceasefire hostage deal. Certainly good news. But I got to tell you, Matt, as I looked at some of the details of this, it comes in phases. You know, there's different parts to it. And what concerns me about any kind of deal like this that's stretched out over time is that, generally speaking, time kills deals, man. You know what I mean? If you don't get the deal done, time kills all deals, as I say in sales. What's your, of course, this is good news, no doubt about it, but it doesn't get it all done immediately. What was your initial reaction, Matt?
My initial reaction was great relief. I mean, there's been so much suffering on both sides of this. It was a good thing that we finally got a ceasefire anyway, at least for 42 days. I hope that will be extended. I hope the war is over. You're right to be skeptical. Who knows? The devil's in the details. We haven't heard from Netanyahu. The Israeli cabinet's got to approve it. Netanyahu has in the past moved the goalpost at the last minute and wrecked some of these negotiations. And Netanyahu and Hamas, let's remember these two folks, I mean, the Hamas leaders and Netanyahu had a sickening symbiosis where they didn't care how many innocent people got killed. Hamas leaders knew that when they attacked grotesquely on October 7th, killing 1,200 people, including 46 Americans. They knew then that Israel would respond tenfold or a hundredfold, and that's what's happened. And Netanyahu didn't care how many Palestinians he killed in response. And the number that I saw when I was doing a little research this afternoon was 46,000 Palestinians, 40. Including 18,000 children.
Oh, my God.
And that's just horrifying. And my wife and I would be watching the news and just, you know, seeing these reports about starving Palestinians for the last several months. Mm-hmm. At least humanitarian aid's going to get through. And that's a relief. Biden deserves some credit here. I mean, he did, claim rightfully that he had proposed this deal back in May, that the outlines of the deal are the same as they were back in May. But my question is, what took so long?
Right.
And how many people had to die since May because of this? I mean, I heard Blinken with my own two ears say back in June that they're on the 10-yard line. That's not a great offense to take 7-8 months to get 10 yards.
Right.
And all the people who died as a result. So those are basically my reactions on that. I saw Biden's press conference live. I thought he was pretty good, but kind of embarrassing, too, at the same time. No one else seemed to pick up on this. But I heard him mix up Hezbollah and Hamas in the first sentence.
That. Yeah.
I heard him mix up Kuwait and Qatar in the third sentence. I mean, come on, man.
Some of the reporting from ABCNews.com. Now, this was negotiation between Hamas and Israel, with the United States, Egypt, and Qatar acting as intermediaries. The agreement will go into effect on Sunday, according to Qatari officials. The deal will take place in three different phases, each of which will last for 6 weeks, according to the officials. Phase one of the ceasefire has been finalized, while phases two and three are still in draft phase and will be finalized after the first 6 weeks are complete. So the first full details of what phase one is: Israel will withdraw to the east, away from the densely populated areas, and more aid, as Matt mentioned, will be allowed into Gaza. Coordination is currently underway to open the Palestinian side of the Rafah border crossing to allow the entry of international aid into Gaza, according to Egyptian security sources. Israel forces will stay at the border. Now, 33 hostages being held in Gaza will be released, starting with women, children, and the elderly. Biden said that Americans will be part of the initial hostage release. Three Americans are believed to be alive in Hamas custody. Four others are believed to be dead. Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners being held by Israel will also be released in exchange for the hostages, Biden said. We have some sound from Biden, but here's one of the quotes. During phase one, the Palestinians can also return to their neighborhoods in all areas of Gaza, and the surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza will begin, and innocent people can have greater access to these vital supplies.
Well, what's left of those neighborhoods?
That's though. What I'm saying. I mean, what's left
Holy
of Gaza?
Cow.
Hey, congratulations. It's like you're going home in California with the wildfires. What are you going home to? There's nothing left in lots of these
going
areas.
Going home to rubble.
Going home to rubble and ash. We do have some sound, Matt. Let's play it for the people. Just doing all the hard work. I mean, there's a lot. You work hard. I got to appreciate it. I mean, there's a lot of sound, lots of bits and pieces to kind of pull together to do this fine show. And Jess, you are a big part. Let's get to President Joe Biden on the Israel-Gaza ceasefire hostage deal. The framework, Matt referenced, going back to May. Cut number one, please.
The elements of this deal are what I laid out in detail this past May, which was embraced by countries around the world and endorsed overwhelmingly by the U.N. Security Council.
Great. Matt, what took so long, man? I mean, it's good news, but certainly still frustrating. And I just got to say, Matt, I mean, I was born in 71. The hostages in the Middle East is like normal part of life. I mean, how long have we been dealing with hostages in the Middle East and peace negotiations in the Middle East, so on and so forth? This has been going on certainly since my lifetime. And I get it. These are long-term struggles and whatnot. But come on. It seems like it's on repeat, Matt. I keep hearing deals for hostages, deals for hostages, deals for hostages.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Six-Day War back in the late 60s. There were a few moments over the last, holy smoke, six decades, where it seemed like things would move forward when you had the agreement with Sadat of Egypt. Of course, then he got assassinated. Or when you had
and that was by Yasser, if I may, Yasser, that assassination of Sadat was by like hardliner Israelis, right?
No, Sadat was the Egyptian military themselves turning their guns.
Yes, yes.
In college, I remember seeing the footage of the Egyptian military turning their guns on their leader. That was crazy.
Yes.
But Yitzhak Rabin, this was another hopeful moment when he and Arafat came to the White House. It looked like, you know, things were moving in the right direction. And then Rabin got killed by a right-wing Israeli. and things went downhill after that. And this isn't the solution to the Israel-Palestine crisis that we've been dealing with at least since 67, and some would say since 48. But at least it's a good day for people who've been suffering for a long time to get a little relief and to get some humanitarian aid in there. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, you know, budget negotiations, that it's just always there.
It is. And you know, it's a good day today. And so in those days, we relish those days and we remember and we hope we have more good days ahead. But unless there's some fundamental changes in mindset, philosophy, and whatever the case is in the Middle East, I mean, you know, how long until this happens again? But let's not be negative on it. Let's hear some more from the president of the United States talking about the Americans that will be released. Cut number two, please.
I'm proud to say Americans will be part of that hostage release in phase one as well. And the vice president and I cannot wait to welcome them home.
Yeah.
Well, that might have been the first time that Kamala Harris smiled there during that little brief press conference. She was stone-faced along with Secretary of State Blinken, who looked like he needs some sleep. They were standing next to Biden when he was giving that live press conference. I want to hear more from Kamala Harris about anything, including about this deal. I want to hear from her, as I think she's still the putative leader of the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party just seems at a loss here as to how to respond to anything.
Seemingly organizationally, perhaps a little rudderless, Matt. We'll get into that as well. Talk about the DNC. There is a new candidate running for the DNC. But let's stay on right now. The deal between Hamas and Israel, ceasefire hostages deal. I think we're on cut number three, please.
Indeed. This is what you've already read, but now we can actually hear it in Biden's own voice.
During phase one, the Palestinians can also return to their neighborhoods in all the areas of Gaza. And the surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza will begin. And the innocent people can have a greater access to these vital supplies.
And again, what's left of those neighborhoods. Let's play a couple more of the president talking about the deal today. Cut number four, please.
There are a number of details to negotiate to move from phase one to phase two. But the plan says if negotiations take longer than 6 weeks, the ceasefire will continue as long as the negotiations continue.
A lot of ifs.
But, you know, that's a bit of an out, isn't it?
Yeah,
as well,
yeah.
We don't want to negotiate anymore. Ceasefire's over. So that's a concern right there.
And again, anytime you have a three-phase, 18-week deal? I mean, 6 + 6 + 6 = 18. That's assuming things go as planned, as predicted. We're still talking a couple of months. And again, we got to take the positives as we can, but I remain skeptical. Time kills deals, and until every one of these hostages are home, until the Palestinians can return to what is left of their homes, and then what's next then? You know what I'm saying? Great. So we got past the last crisis, just like we did. Well, we haven't yet. The crisis before that, and the crisis before that, and the crisis before that, going back decades. You know, we got to change something here. We've got to change the trajectory of what's happening, or we will be having these conversations again in another couple of years, another 10 years. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. My guest host today, Matt Rothschild. We got Jess P.S. on the board. You folks on the lines, 855-752-4842. We're going to come back with more of the sound of President Biden on this historic day.
Not to put too fine upon it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine upon it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Co-host today, Matt Rothschild, joining me at the on the board. You folks on the lines and the text as well, 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about the details of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. A three-phase, three-pronged plan, Matt. A little bit from the reporting, and then we'll go back to some of the sound from President Joe Biden today. We talked about phase one. Here's what ABC is reporting regarding phase two. Phase two in 42 days, announcement of sustainable calm, permanent cessation of military operations and all hostilities to be implemented before the exchange of remaining Israeli male hostages, civilians, and soldiers for an agreed upon number of prisoners in Israeli jails and the complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Gaza Strip. That's phase two in the 42 days. Phase three, once again, the remains and bodies held in the possession of both parties will be exchanged after identification. The reconstruction of Gaza will start and last for 3 to 5 years, including homes, civilian buildings, infrastructure, with compensation for all affected individuals under the supervision of several countries and organizations, including Egypt, Qatar, and the United Nations. And the opening of the crossings and allowing the movement of people and goods.
But it doesn't say, Dom, does it? And this, who's going to rule? Who's going to rule the, you know, the Gaza Strip? Is Hamas going to rule it? Is Qatar, Egypt, and the United Nations going to rule it?
United States going to rule it? Government coming out of the Gaza Strip right now? I mean, that's a great question, and is not addressed.
Netanyahu has consistently said the war is not going to be over unless Gaza no longer runs, unless Hamas no longer runs Gaza. So, I mean, that's a big question.
Huge question. And again, that's a concern. So lots of things to be ironed out yet, but we got phase one underway. So here is the president talking about the phase two exchange. Cut number five, please.
When phase two begins, there will be an exchange for release of the remaining living hostages, including male soldiers, and all remaining Israeli forces will be withdrawn from Gaza, and the temporary ceasefire will become permanent.
President Biden speaking today. Let's play cut number six, please, Jess.
There was no other way for this war to end than with a hostage deal, and I'm deeply satisfied this day has finally come, for the sake of the people of Israel and the families waiting in agony.
And for the sake of the Palestinians, too. Holy smokes, man.
For the sake of the world, folks. I mean, can't we all just get along? Didn't somebody say one time? I mean, how many times do we have to run this playbook? You know what I mean? Right. This has been it's really tough for me to be positive about it when I feel like this is, you know, 10 years ago before that, 10 years before. I mean, this has been a continual historical turning of the page, and next thing you know, there's hostilities again, more hostages taken, so on and so forth, over and over, et cetera, et cetera. You see what I'm saying?
Let me just jump in there, because this is always the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank by the Israeli government has always bothered me on so many levels, on the moral level, on the legal level, on the humanitarian level, but also on the strategic level, because there is this concept of strategic procrastination. That's what Netanyahu called it.
Right.
We are never going to give these folks a decent state of their own, and we're just going to stall and stall and stall and oppress and oppress and oppress. But what is the strategy there? What really was the long-term strategy there? There was no long-term strategy, because, you know, so long as you're oppressing people, they are going to resist, and their friends and brothers and cousins are going to resist. So there was no real solution there in this strategic procrastination idea. And it came back and bit Netanyahu on the backside, though he, was able to use it as to his political advantage. And it certainly bit the 1,200 people who died on October 7th pretty hard, and it bit the Palestinian people pretty hard. I mean, there always has needed to be a settlement, a decent settlement with a decent Palestinian state. And I hope this ceasefire will lead to that, but I don't really see the outline for that right now.
Well, not with the incoming administration, who has said time and again that they don't believe in a multi-state solution.
Yeah, there's nothing in this that refers to a two-state solution. As mentioned, Matt, there's nothing in here that says how the Palestinians will govern the Gaza Strip. And if it's going to be Hamas, well, Netanyahu's not going to go along with that. The question, we have a question. Let's throw this one out there and we can continue on. Folks, you can join us as well, 855-752-4842. How much credit should Trump get for this? Interesting question. Let's hear it. Cut number 7, please, Jess.
How much credit do you give to the Trump team for this deal? Trump is already taking credit for it.
Well, you know, this is the exact framework of the deal I proposed back in May. Exact. And we got the world to endorse it. Secondly, it's America's support for Israel that helped them badly weaken Hamas and its backers and create the conditions for this deal. And thirdly, I knew this deal would have to be implemented by the next team, so I told my team to coordinate closely with the incoming team to make sure we're all speaking with the same voice, because that's what American presidents do.
Yes, I mean, I hope the incoming administration will abide by, follow through, and support this deal as well. Call me a little skeptical, given the nature of the incoming administration. But if it was Biden with the incoming administration advice and consent, you know, who knows? You got to assume that they know that there's going to be a change in leadership. So if that's the case, fine. Do we have any more? Is that the last one?
That's the last one. There was right at the end of that press conference, a journalist called out and asked, Mr. President, who deserves credit for this, you or Trump? And he had already walked away from the microphone. So he comes back just a little bit within range and goes, is that a joke? But it wasn't clean enough for me to cut.
Yeah, that was Biden saying, no, Trump doesn't deserve credit. I deserve the credit. But to me, who deserves the credit doesn't really matter. We needed to get to the ceasefire. And Biden does deserve a lot of credit for establishing this and trying to get it across the finish line. And he finally got it across the finish line. So I give him some kudos. I just wish it happened 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, 12 months ago.
Wish we wouldn't have to be in the situation again. And if things don't change, we will be in the situation again in not too far a time. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Taking your calls next, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. More improvements at the Brewers ballpark are on deck. The Milwaukee Business Journal reports that the Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District Board is set to review a $10 million project. It would be to enhance the group spaces and to make service-level improvements at American Family Field. The project would be part of millions more in improvements, which includes an ongoing winterization project. That's going to allow events to be held there year-round. The first TV ads of the next election cycle hit the airwaves yesterday as the race for the state Supreme Court gets underway. Waukesha Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel, who's supported by conservatives and Republicans for the officially nonpartisan seat, is spending $1.1 million on advertising. He's facing Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford. She's got the support of liberals and Democrats. A coalition of Milwaukee County leaders has formed to oppose a proposed ICE detention facility. The facility, as described in a press release from Alderwoman Loretta Taylor's office, would include modifications such as a chain-link fence with privacy slats and a sally port for detainee transportation. The coalition includes Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez and members of the board's Latin caucus. The case documented in the Netflix series Making a Murderer may go back to court. Brittany Merlot has more.
Stephen Avery's appeal is on a list of opinions set for release. Avery, along with his nephew, Brendan Dassey, are serving life sentences for the 2005 murder of Teresa Halbach. Avery's defense team has filed an appeal to reverse his conviction. Avery has made multiple attempts to appeal his conviction and get a new trial. Brendan Dassey will be able to ask for parole in 2048. Dassey appealed his conviction to the United States Supreme Court, and the justices declined to hear his case.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The three-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the mid-30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently 21 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for being a part. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75. We got Jess P.S. on the board. My co-host for the day, Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive Magazine Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and friend of ours. Thank you, Matt, for joining us. The topic as of the moment, the Israeli-Hamas deal, a ceasefire, hostage exchange, and some of the additional reporting here. Now, Trump is also taking credit. So we heard some sound of Joe Biden taking credit. Trump's also taking credit. The Independent is reporting as such. The president-elect argued in a Truth Social post that the agreement expected to be formally confirmed later Wednesday could have only happened as a result of our historic victory in November. Another quote, a signal to the entire world that my administration would seek peace and negotiate deals to ensure the safety of all Americans and our allies. I'm thrilled American and Israeli hostages will be returning home to be reunited with their families and loved ones. Let's see, a couple more of the quotes. The outgoing Biden administration described working tightly with the Trump team to seal the deal. Again, according to the report at The Independent, earlier this week, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters that the Biden administration had coordinated very closely with the incoming Trump team to present a united message to all the parties, which says it is the American, it in the American national security interest, regardless of party, regardless of outgoing or incoming administration, to get this deal done as fast as possible.
Well, I'm glad they worked together to get it done, if that helped getting the thing done.
Right. I mean, ultimately, that's the point, right? Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe Trump's got something there because, you know, he said, you know, if this thing isn't settled before I get in and, you know, the Gaza Strip is going to, all hell's going to break out.
All hell's going to break loose, right? Yes.
So, I mean, there is that too going on. But, you know, I'm still struck by the thing that you're struck by, Dom, which is, is this really going to lead to a grand solution where we don't have to deal with this problem every, you know, year, every 2 years, it blows up in our face or in the faces of the Palestinian people or the Israeli people? Because look at, you've got Governor Huckabee, who's going to be U.S. ambassador to Israel, who believes in a greater Israel, doesn't believe there is such a thing as the Palestinian people. You know, if the Palestinian people don't get a state of their own, there are going to be Palestinians, whether they're living in Palestine or not, who are going to be so outraged that, you know, their family's been, you know, dispersed and their uncles have been killed or their sons have been killed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not going to give up this. They're going to be like, you know, Japanese after World War II who are hiding out in the island still fighting the war. And is that something we want, especially with, you know, all sorts of weapons that are possible for people to get a hold of?
Yes, and again, it solves the immediate crisis, but it doesn't solve the problem, right? And that's a concern. The New York Times has a headline, Matt, Gaza hostage deal could come as Trump takes office in echoes of 1981. The subheadline, dozens of American hostages held at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran for more than a year were freed just as Ronald Reagan was inaugurated.
Well, that suggests that that Trump was telling Netanyahu not to reach a deal while Biden was, you know, or Kamala Harris was running for president.
Gosh, that sounds familiar.
That's
the direct analogy.
That would be the analogy because as it's understood, as I understand history, one of the reasons, one of the headwinds for Carter when he was negotiating or trying to get the hostages released was that the Reagan campaign behind their back, and I would say illegally, were also courting the Iranians and telling them that don't release the hostages until Reagan gets in. Because, of course, that would be a boost to the Carter administration right at the tail end of an election. And so if that were to be the case, and it seemingly history would indicate that the Reagan campaign purposefully delayed the release of American hostages for political reasons. That is not what happened here. What happened here, according to the reporting, is that this was a framework set in place by the Biden administration dating back to May. As far as I know, the Trump campaign has not been in contact, no reporting, with Netanyahu saying, don't do this. And apparently the Biden administration and the incoming Trump administration, at least the transition team, have been working together to show a unified face on this as it pertains to the United States national security, which I think is a positive thing. So I think that that headline is a little misleading, Matt. I don't think it's analogous at all.
Well, unless they've got some information that the Trump folks were telling Netanyahu to drag his feet. Netanyahu was dragging his feet. That's a fact. I mean, he would continually, you know, make last minute changes that would scuttle the agreement after May that looked like it was about to happen and never happened till now. But I don't have the facts behind that. I mean, it does make me raise an eyebrow and wonder whether it was happening. But, you know, I'm a trained journalist. I don't want to go off saying it happened when I don't have any facts that say it happened.
There's no indication that that was, in fact, the case. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. CJ perhaps has a different opinion on this topic. Hey, CJ, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt and Dom. Thanks for taking my call. Well, obviously,
hey, CJ.
Pretty much everything down, but the irony that this has with the Carter administration with Iran and for 444 days tried to negotiate a release, and on the day of Ronald Reagan and peace through strength on his inauguration day, they were released because just like Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump is a man of his word, and he said, if you don't release them before I'm inaugurated, all hell will break loose. You've got the tape of that. I'm sure Jess can pull that up. And that was while Robert Lighthizer was standing next to him. And Biden claims for 8 months that he's negotiated this deal. Well, isn't it funny? You can look at the chronology. This is peace through strength and a Republican president, and it's now following the weakest president in America's history.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, CJ. I'll let you go. Now allow me to retort, if I may, and Matt can jump in here as well. I just explained that why this is not the same, right? The Reagan campaign was secretly negotiating with Iran to not have the hostages released. Do you accept that as fact, CJ?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, then maybe you should do a little research on that, my friend. It was not about Ronald Reagan coming in and then all of a sudden the Iranians all being so scared. It was that Reagan was reaching out behind the Carter administration's back to tell the Iranians to hang on to those hostages for political reasons, to make Reagan look strong so people like you would believe that. So basically, Ronald Reagan negotiated with terrorists to keep American hostages hostage longer than they perhaps should have been. Is that new news to you, CJ?
You don't think that it was like the threat that he gave the Taliban when he handed him the
picture? I'm asking you, is that news to you, CJ? Is that new information for you about Ronald Reagan's dealing with the Iranian during the hostage crisis? Did you know that, CJ, or is that new to you?
October 7th.
So he didn't know that. Matt,
what do you think? My understanding is that Reagan sent his designee to be CIA director, William Casey, to talk to the Iranians prior to the election, tell him, you know, slow walk this thing. Don't make a deal with the Carter administration. And that was a treasonous thing to do. It was an illegal thing to do. No one has the right to negotiate for the United States other than the executive, the chief executive and his people. And, you know, think of the hostages who had to stay there longer because of the shenanigans that Casey and Reagan were pulling. Just to make sure that they got elected. I mean, that was political tricks of the worst variety.
Of the worst kind. If it were to be analogous, it would be that Donald Trump would have delayed the release of this deal until after he was president. Like, you know, hey, make this happen on day one. Make it happen next week. Not during the Biden administration. But perhaps if the reporting is accurate and the Biden team and the Trump team were working in unison for this, great. I'm fine with that. You know, national security does not know politics. You know, our enemies are happy to see us at each other's throats, no doubt. But we're talking about national security. That's a national security for everyone. Now, that aside, And folks, you can join us as well, 855-752-4842. My concern, as I have articulated about this deal, it's a three-phase deal, 42 days, 42 days, 42 days. Time kills all deals. And the phase two and phase three, while there is an outline and has not yet officially been established, if someone like, and that won't be established, it will not happen before Monday. So if this, all you folks out there, all the megas out there that say this is all because of Donald Trump's strength. Okay. You can have that. I disagree. I think it's a combination at best, or primarily the current administration. But if you want to throw in the all hell will break loose threats, fine. Then ponder this. If phase two and phase three fall to the wayside, is that because of the weak leadership of Donald Trump? Are you going to take responsibility for those phases falling apart? Is that going to be Donald Trump's fault? Will that be his foreign policy blunders if phase two and phase three in 42 days and 42 days after that don't come to fruition? Are you megas, CJ, are you conservatives going to say that's Biden's fault or is that Trump's fault? You know what I mean? Who's taking responsibility?
And on the flip side, I mean, Biden does deserve credit for helping Israel deflect the Iranian incoming missiles.
Yeah.
And made Iran's military look bad. Netanyahu, and I hate to give him credit for anything, but he militarily did totally degrade not only Hamas, but Hezbollah. And so Hamas is in a totally weakened position here. And when you're in a weak position and, you know, you've got to at some point, you know, negotiate an end.
855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, you will be next. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Yeah, that Iran thing. That was pretty well established by now. In fact, there was an election while the hostages were still there. And like 96% of the votes went for candidates that did back releasing them, and that was where the Iran-Contra and everything, Reagan's people, was it Casey, said, hold on to them, and we'll give you parts for, you know, the American parts.
That was another Iranian, you know, it's amazing how the strong Republicans never deal with terrorists until they deal with terrorists.
It all started there, really, and now, even just recently in the past year or so, one of the guys on the plane to Iran came out. So, you know, there's no doubt about it anymore. But this deal with Hamas, Gaza, the Biden administration, of course, said there's going to be a transition here, you know. So he had somebody, he asked Trump to send somebody, and he sent a real estate guy. So Trump knew dang well that there had been an agreement approaching being, you know, settled on, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's why he could come out and say, oh, you know, make this big threat and then take the credit and make it look like. And people like CJ will just fall for that.
Good point. I mean, certainly, Matt, Trump saw the writing on the wall. They know there were ongoing negotiations. This has been going on for, you know, well over a year, at least back to May. So it's not a big stretch for someone like Donald Trump to make a claim like that in order to perhaps garner some credit for it.
Yeah, and let's be real. I mean, Trump, you know, claims credit for the sun coming up in the morning. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just who he is.
Well, and that's the thing, though. If this deal, if phase two and phase three don't come around, that's going to be entirely under the Donald Trump administration. And hopefully that does happen. Hopefully we have a longer term solution where we're not back here in another 3 to 5 years talking about the next Israeli Hamas or whatever terrorist organization will be, you know, claiming hostages at that point. I mean, things need to fundamentally change on the ground in people's minds and people's hearts. And people have a right to self-determination. Until that happens, I mean, how would you act? If you had the boot of somebody else on you all the time, regardless of what your father or grandfather may have been involved in, I know I'd be fighting back. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Join us 855-752-4842. Lots of texters, lots of callers. We'll get to you next.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Dom Salty Show, 855-752-4842. That's not CCR, but it's a good song. Love the rock and roll version. Thank you, Jess. Got Matt Rothschild joining me today. You folks on the phones and the text as well, 855-75-Civic Patrick from the 608. Called Iran-Contra arms for hostages. Yes, there were, during the Reagan years, Matt, I mean, if I recall, and I was... Man, I remember when Reagan came out. I was just a wee lad. You know, born in 71. I was, what, 8, 9 years old? And here here comes this
making me feel bad, Don.
This slick old man coming in with, you know, with the promises of a shining city on a hill and his strength, you know, gets the Iran hostages released. Well, we talked about that already. That was a backdoor deal to screw Carter. And in doing so, you know, keeping the hostages there for a little longer than they needed to be. But that aside, there was also the Iran-Contra deal, which happened later, Matt. That had nothing to do with the initial hostage crisis during the 1980 election.
You know, I was in Washington, D.C., working for Ralph Nader when Reagan was elected, and I saw the Reagan crew come to town, and the ladies in all their long fur coats and the right-wingers driving the big cars and the arrogance and swagger of the Reagan folks, and it was really obnoxious to watch. And then to see this kind of rosy interpretation of Reagan that's happened over the last 30 years, 40 years, people forget about the treasonous actions of William Casey and the Iranian hostages. People forget about the totally illegal Iran-Contra hostage deal. There was a embargo on aid to the Contras. The Contras were trying to overthrow the Sandinista government in Nicaragua, the socialist government in Nicaragua. The United States had been funding them, and they were committing gross human rights abuses. So there was a law passed that said the United States can't fund the Contras. Well, Reagan wanted to continue to fund the Contras, and he found a way to do it illegally by getting the, letting the Iranians fund the Contras and reimbursing the Iranians. That was the Iran-Contra deal and Oliver North and all those folks. But that was another reason I always thought, you know, that Reagan should have been impeached or prosecuted. And I remember when Reagan died, I was contacted by a local reporter saying, "What's your feeling on Reagan?" I said, "Well, he's a war criminal, you know, and some friends of mine I was playing basketball with, including some Republicans, were just horrified because everybody else was saying pious things about what a great man he was. And it was just a bunch of BS.
Well, and it's not that people forget, Matt. Some people just don't know. They don't know.
Right.
You know, and I'm not knocking CJ specifically in this case or those folks that are unaware of this particular part of history. And I didn't know it when I was 9 years old. And so, of course, I looked up and like, oh, this guy, man, what strength. And I, you know, what kind of politics do you know when you're 9 years old? And I grew up out in the country. And so when you're on the playground, you know, with the other 9 year old kids in fourth and fifth grade, you know, oh, no one likes Carter. Carter sucks. Well, you don't even know. You don't even know what inflation means. You know what I mean? So I got older, Matt, you know, I grew up and then I started reading a little bit and realized, oh, damn. Well, that was some shady stuff. And that never should have happened. And so the twist for all this, what did Reagan say? Oh, in my heart, I didn't do anything wrong. And my heart was in the right spot. Something along the lines. He basically played it off. But now I know that we did do it. Yeah, you did it. You did it. And folks still want to give Ronald Reagan a pass as some high and mighty, you know, jelly bean eating. I mean, look at, you know, the worshipfulness of Scott Walker with right. Ronald Reagan, man. I mean, it's weird. It's. You know, it can only be surpassed perhaps by the Trump infatuation with these Republicans, man.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a cult, but it was a total whitewashing of history.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple of generations of young Republicans like Walker who, you know, idealized and idolized Ronald Reagan. And maybe there's something psychological about the need to, you know, idolize someone. Because, of course, Trump's got a lot of people idolizing him right now.
855-752-4842. I had to pull up the quote. A few months ago from Ronald Reagan, right? This is what he said back in the day. A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions tell me that's true, but the facts and evidence tell me it's not. What the hell does that even mean?
In my heart,
in my heart,
I did not cheat.
That's right.
But the facts and the evidence of what occurred in the bedroom, well.
Baby, I love you. I swear I didn't, but apparently you caught me, so I guess I did. But my heart tells me I didn't cheat on you. 855-752-4842. I mean, that's what the man said. I remember that quote when he said it live. I was watching it. Disgusting.
Yeah. Crazy what you can get away with a line like that.
Get away with, man. You can get away with trying to overthrow the government. I mean, this was small potatoes back then. Reagan wasn't shooting high enough. Let's get one more caller in here. Jim from Appleton, you are up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to remind you that midsummer, I believe it was late July, Mr. Netanyahu took a trip to Mar-a-Lago and met with Trump for a day. You know, not that I'm saying that he was told school plays a game, but yeah,
let's
not forget that did happen.
Yeah, and thanks for the call and the reminder, Jim. Yeah, it was a little sketch. He wasn't the only world leader to go visit and kiss the ring down at Mar-a-Lago. Matt, we got 30 seconds. What do you think? Was there anything that came out of that meeting, in your opinion, based on what we're seeing today?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the facts, and the fact that he was there isn't conclusive that there was a little deal made. You know, I wait to see more reporting on it. If there was, I wouldn't be shocked. Nothing would shock me about Trump.
Nothing shocks us anymore. Folks, come back with us. Pam Bondi talking to the Senate today. We're going to get to that as well. 855-752-4842.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with Melissa Kay from WFHR about Central Wisconsin news, and we'll talk to new state senator Jody Habesh-Sinikin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Hamas have reached a ceasefire and hostage release deal. CBS's Margaret Brennan says the hostage releases will come in phases.
If it holds, even just through this weekend, we could see some families reunited. And of course, that has huge meaning for those who have been missing their loved ones since that horrific October 7th attack.
Hamas is still holding about 100 hostages, a third of whom are believed to be dead. Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz tells us about a big score for women's college basketball.
For years, men's college basketball teams have been paid for playing games in the NCAA tournament. And finally today, the Division I Board of Governors voted unanimously to start paying the women's basketball teams as well.
Another shot fired in the war between hip-hop stars Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Drake has sued his own label, Universal Music Group, for defamation over Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us. UMG is also Lamar's label. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace. Local.